Talking about a really interesting Gemara in Bava Basra, if you remember last time. Right, the Gemara in Bava Basra and Daf Ayin Dalet Amar Aleph in Perek HaSvina has all these interesting tales of Rabba Bar Bar Chana. So the Gemara told us that Rabba Bar Bar Chana encountered one time an Arab merchant who said to him, I want to show you the place where Korach is swallowed, Korach Va'adasa, are swallowed in the ground. And he took him to a spot where there were these two rifts in the ground, and he saw smoke emerging from there. And the Arab took a shearing of wool, he placed it on top of his staff, he stuck it in the ground, he soaked it in water, he stuck it in the ground, and it came out singed. And then the Arab told Rabba Bar Bar Chana, listen in, tell me what you hear. And he heard voices saying, Moshe emesh v'soraso emes v'hein badayin. Right, that Moshe is true and his Torah is true. And they, speaking in third person about themselves, so to speak, and they, meaning we, are liars. We're not true. And the Gemara ended by saying every 30 days, the Gehenna passes by that place, and once again they cry out Moshe emes v'soraso emes, and we're a bunch of liars. Those of us who denied Moshe and the Torah. So the Maharal began to explain this Gemara to us, and he told us that the Arab is really, none of it actually took place in a literal sense. Rabbi Bar Bar Chana is conveying to us a very important message in terms of a Torah ideology. And that is that if you challenge reality, so you lose your right to exist. Right? We said that the Arab merchant represents the seichel. Just like an Arab merchant travels around looking to do business and to acquire everywhere that he goes, so too the mind, the neshama, is meant to always be seeking acquisitions. V'adarta p'nei zake in zesha kana chachma, to try to acquire great wisdom. Right? Why is it that the place of the ground was split in two? So we ended off last time by talking about the number two. Now the Maharal says that two is sort of the anti-shlemus number. If you have two lines, right, we have like a V, and you draw these two lines, they're distancing from one another. If you have three, then you can draw a triangle, and the end and the beginning meet up once again. And the same thing is true for anything more than two. But two represents a lack of shlemus, and that's why on the second day of creation, it doesn't say ki tov. And that's why Gehenim was created on the second day of creation, and all machlokas comes from day two. It comes from that world of multiplicity, which is the antithesis of really, I guess, everything we believe, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Okay, so that's where we're up to in the story. Let's finish up the Maharal's interpretation of the story tonight. Va'amar denafek kutra minayu. So the Gemara said that he saw smoke coming up from the rift in the ground. We're going to explain tonight what is Gehenim. Gehenim is not, again, a physical place. Gehenim is a conceptual idea. And even though we describe the fires of Gehenim, the Maharal is going to explain to us what is this imagery of fire and smoke, which again we associate so strongly with Gehenim. And Chazal talk about the fire, the Esh of Gehenim. So the Kutra, the smoke that emerged from there, is saying to us that these anashim, these individuals, are deserving of Gehenim completely, mikol v'kol. In other words, their relationship with Gehenim is absolute. The same way that Torah is absolute reality, Gehenim represents absolute, the antithesis of life in this world. Lo kamo shar averos, not like other averos, that if a person does an avera, afim chata, ein Gehenim is yachis lo legamri. While he may also need to go to hell, so to speak, in order to atone for his misdeeds, but he's not entirely attached to Gehenim. Right? If your spot in the ground, so to speak, is where the smoke is emerging, that means you're mamish in the fire. And again, conceptually, that means that you are totally connected to the world of Gehenim. So the Maharal is saying, when you do averos, when a person does averos, not you, God forbid, I'm not talking to any of you, but when one does, theoretically, averos, and they go to Gehenim, they're not necessarily, you know, in the heat of the fire. Adas Korach, because of the rejection of Torah, and it's interesting, we associate Torah with fire also. Think about it like that. Right? Meaning, the Torah is also an Esh Das Lamo, as the Torah refers to itself. Right? It's also a fire. It's an unbelievable holy fire. So Gehenim is sort of this anti-fire, the antithesis of the holy fire of Torah. V'lakach Amar Da'ala Kutra Misham, that's what it means, that the smoke was emerging from there. Mamish, right there where they were. And it was such an intense fire, that again in this Agadita, the Arab takes a shearing of wool, he attaches it to his staff, he sticks it soaked into the ground, and it gets singed because it's mamish in the hottest part of the fire. It dried out that soaking wet shearing of wool, which is not so easily dried. Hakol lahoros ki etzem haGehenim roi lahem. All of this is to inform us that the essence of Gehenim was they were deserving of it. Umasha amar denafik kutcher minayo. And again, this imagery of smoke emerging from that spot, perish ashan nimshach minayesha Gehenim. Smoke, of course, is what is created by fire. Vikara haGehenim shapoel bereshaim esh. And why is it that we associate Gehenim that seeks to act upon the wicked? Why do we call it fire? Right? Chazal always talk about the esh shel Gehenim. The Gemara refers to it that way. Mipnei ki esh yesh lo tokev v'gadol kocho. Again, if we're talking about a spiritual reality, it's not actually a fire. But just like fire is so powerful, and a little bit of fire can spread and be so destructive, so to represent the absolute midas hadin of punishment, we compare Gehenim, that place of Kabbalah's hadin for one's misdeeds, we compare it to Eish. V'kach haGehenim shehu din b'Risham yesh lo chozek v'tokef. Gehenim, again, which is the place where Risham are judged, is a place of chozek and tokef, of great strength, of great intensity. V'lakach haGehenim shehu din Risham nikra Eish. And therefore, Eish is a fitting, you know, mushal. It's a term that we borrow to describe the experience of Gehenim, of absolute judgment, and an absolutely righteous judgment, a fitting judgment. V'hatolda kara ashan gamken, and that which emerges from there we call smoke. L'fisha ashan misyaled min choizek ha'esh gamken, because in accordance with the intensity of the fire, it'll produce more and more smoke. If it ain't suffic, right? You see, God forbid, you know, a very intense fire raging, right? So you see this black, thick smoke emerging from it. You know, that's a very powerful fire. Ve'ein safek ki haGehenim shehu din harishayim mispashit kocho b'olam hazeh. Ki sholeit din haGehenim af b'olam hazeh bekama devarim. And just like the smoke emerges from the fire, so too the reality of Gehenim, the punishments of Gehenim, also have a hashpa on this world. How does it have a hashpa on this world? Is it in terms of a Russia being judged in this world? Is it terms of a person, you know, acting a certain way in this world, knowing that there's such a consequence of Gehenim? But the same way that Gehenim, the same way that Eish rather produces smoke, so Gehenim also has a far-reaching hashpa. Vizesha amar da'ala kutra minayu, and that's what it means that the smoke came from them. Ve'ein kol advar ma'elu gashmiim klal. The Maral again makes it very clear that everything we're describing here is not a physical thing. Rakakol muskal. Again, when the neshama leaves the body, it's not impacted by a physical fire. Right? It's talking about a spiritual reality. And as we know, you know, malchusa da'ara k'me'ein malchusa d'rakia, the Gemara says in Brachos at the beginning, that life in this world, the kingdom of this world, parallels the kingdom above. In other words, just like we have fire in this world, so there's a spiritual concept of fire. The Ramban talks about a Gan Eden Tachton and a Gan Eden Elyon. Was Gan Eden a physical place? Something that we're sometimes confused about. Is Gan Eden actually a garden, a place you could go? Or is Gan Eden some type of spiritual reality? The answer is it's both. There's a Gan Eden Tachton, there's a Gan Eden Elyon. There's physical fire and then there's spiritual fire. So when we talk about Gehenim, right, we're not talking about a fire. It's a concept that's a rakakol muskal, right? It's a spiritual concept. And this whole Indian of the Arab taking the shearing of wool, it's all an idea, a very true and important idea. It's a spiritual reality. It's not a physical reality. Coming back to the theme of our parak is that when Korach challenged Torah, he challenged reality. Torah is reality. The Eish of Torah is physical reality and spiritual reality in the positive sense. Gehenim is the opposite. It's the anti-metzius. V'zeu inyan ha-gehenim. Shehu hefsid v'ibud l'nimtzam. That's what Gehenim is. Gehenim is utter desolation and destruction. The absolute loss of existence. U'lefichach amar demachrich ha-magia l'sham. So when the Arab takes the shearing of wool and sticks it into that place, and it comes out completely singed, unrecognizable, if you think about the nature of fire, I mean, think about it from a, let's say, like a beer chametz perspective, right? How do you get rid of chametz? Chametz is a mashal for the Yetzer Hara. What's the best way to get rid of chametz? The Gemara has a Mishnah, has a machlokas about how to appropriate ways to destroy chametz. Rabbi Yehuda says, "Ain bir chametz el asreifa." The way to destroy chametz is burning it, right? Because burning negates it from its metzias. So even though now you'll say, you know, what this blackened piece of, you know, ashes was once a piece of bread, maybe that's also called chametz. No, it's lost its metzias. So burning has the ability, something being singed means it's no longer whatever it was previously. It has lost its previous reality. You see it also in the context of, you know, burning kodshim, right? Destroying it from reality takes place through burning. So Gehenim has this transformative ability to take something from metzias to e-metzias, to lack of metzias. And therefore, when the Maharal explains that sticking the shearing of wool into that place and watching it get burnt to a crisp represents what? The loss of metzias. And that's exactly what happens to the Rasham in that place. So these individuals specifically deserved the ultimate Gehenim, Yoser Mikol Yarde Sha'ola, more so than regular people who do Averos, because again, like we explained above, Latam Asher Isbar Lamala, Bepnesha Yucholkim Ala Torah, by challenging the Torah, they challenged reality itself. Shua Secha HaAmiti HaMuchuyav, Torah is the true spiritual absolute reality. To the point that they had lost any connection to Metzius, there was a heder, there was a void that was created, a heder gomor, that has no hosafa, has no continuity, has no continuation. Because again, Torah is absolute reality, and Gehenim is absolute void. And therefore they were forced to declare these two opposites. They were forced to enunciate. Moshe emes v'saraso emes v'heim badaim. Moshe is true. Moshe's Torah is true. And we're a bunch of liars. Right? Emes and Sheker. Polar opposites. Ki din gehenim hayapol behem lagamri. They were able to recognize that truth. Gehenim was working, you know, upon them in the most concrete way. V'davar zehu mevarer ha'emes. And when a person faces, again, that clarity of the polar opposites of truth and absolute sheker, so they came to a recognition of that truth to the point that they could declare it. V'lakach hayapol behem din gehenim shu heder. So they had to face the void in order to then understand how true and how real the Torah was. U'bishvil pol zeh shayi b'gehenim pol behem. So because the Gehenim was working, you know, on them or against them to help them to recognize the fact that they had challenged the Torah reality, okay, like the Maharal sometimes does, he says the same thing again in a different way. And all of this again proves the truthfulness of Torah, and it did to them, and it should to us as well. Achayu Omer Moshe v'soraso emes. Until again, they were forced to declare Moshe and the Torah is true. What was the last part of the story? The last part of the story was that every 30 days, Gehenim would pass by, and it would stir them up, like again, like meat cooking in a pot, and they would once again scream out, Moshe emes v'soraso emes. What's the concept of 30 days, every 30 days? Again, the Maharal is always sensitive to numbers, to time. Maharal ends the piece by telling us, ends this parak by telling us what's the notion of 30 days. Va'amar ki kol tlasin yomen mahapich lehu gehenim kebasar bekalachas. That every 30 days Gehenim would pass by and overturn them like meat that's cooking in a pot. Va'amri hachi, and they would say, Moshe emes v'saraso emes. Ubir inyan zeh, the concept of 30 days. Very interesting. Ki shloshim yom misugalim letorah. 30 days is associated with Torah. Now, in my edition, the volume I have in front of me, Yaakov, do you have the word Torah? Kishloshim yom misugalim l'Torah. I have in mine in front of me. It says kishloshim yom misugalim l'chazara. That 30 days is, you have Torah or chazara? What do you have?
Chazara.
Oh, that's what I have also. Okay, so this version on Safari is a little different. But every 30 days represents chazara. I mean, if you want us to keep something fresh, you have to review it every 30 days. And of course, we think about the cycle of the moon, the orbit of the moon being 30 days. V'zeu ki b'shloshim yom misaviv hayareach kol galgalo. Because every 30 days, the moon goes through its orbit. V'chozer l'hakif k'mo b'rishona. And then comes back to its starting point. So 30 represents a certain passage of time that allows for a sense of hischachus. That's the Klal Yisrael. We're compared to the moon. We're, our first mitzvah is Hachodesh Azelachem. We're the representation of hischachus. V'lo timsa ha-hekif v'chazar es galgal b'pachos. Less than 30 days would be an incomplete cycle. 30 days represents sort of a wholesome cycle of passage of time. Like a month. Kishar galgalim yesh lehem zman yoser lehakafasim. Because other rotations take longer. So for example, we talk about the, you know, the rotation, the relationship between the earth and the sun. So that's, you know, once a year, once every 365 days. But the moon, its relationship to the earth every 30 days represents the passage of time, which represents renewing something, reviewing and renewing something. Now, how does that connect to the truth of Torah? Since these wicked individuals deserve Gehenna, not again in some derech agav type of way, but in a very direct way, in a very precise way that's linked to reality, or their denial of reality. So every 30 days, representing that basic cycle of life, they had to once again review this truth. Moshe emes v'sarasso emes, and we're a bunch of liars. Moshe emes v'sarasso emes, and we're a bunch of liars. Perishapoel behem kol ha-gehenim. In other words, the fullness of Gehenna had to pass over them. Lo mixas Gehenim. They had to re-experience it, right, in a fresh way each time. As if to say, it wasn't like they ended up in a bad situation by chance. Their relationship with Gehenna was absolute. They had to keep experiencing it over and over again in a very, you know, new kind of way, in a fresh kind of way. Vizek Moshe Amarnu. Ki ru'uyim hayu b'nei Korach b'prat l'Gehenim. They deserve Gehenim specifically. Kasher hayu cholkem ala Torah, by denying Torah reality. V'chol davar shehu kol yesh lo hashlama. Interesting line. Maral says anything that is absolute, anything that is kol, so they completely deny the Torah, they completely deserve Gehenim, and therefore to have something have a sense of completion, it has to have a beginning and an end. So 30 days represents a cycle. A beginning and an end. Every 30 days we complete and we start over. Hashlamasahu kasher hu chozer chalila. And to complete something means that it completes us, you know, a revolution, and then we start it again. Ki oz nishlam v'chozer chalila. We complete that round and we start a new round. V'im eno chozer chalila. But if it doesn't complete, if it doesn't review, ein lo hashlama. Then it implies that it's just this ongoing process. V'im ein lo hashlama. And if it can't really reach an end, then eino hakol, then it's not all-encompassing. Because you have to have a beginning, and so to speak, a middle and an end for something to be complete. V'davar zeh mevuar ma'od, and this concept is well-known. In the footnotes in my edition here, it references the Netzach Yisrael of the Maharal in Perek Zayin, where he talks about the number 7. 7 and 8 are probably the two most famous numbers in the writings of the Maharal. 7 representing, again, a certain basic cycle, 7 days in the week. Seven years in a Shemitah cycle, 7 cycles of 7 in a Yovel cycle. 7 is a number of completion. 8, in the writings of the Maharal, Chanukah, and 8, of course, is Lamala min HaTeva. 7 notes in a musical scale. 8 represents a certain something beyond. Maharal actually says that the number Sheva in Hebrew is connected to the words, connected to the word Sviya, like V'achalta V'Savata, because when a person eats and they're full, they're satisfied, they're complete, so that's 7. That's the world of 7. 8 represents going beyond the boundaries. That's why the number Shmona is connected to the concept of Shamein. Right? If a person eats too much, so they become Shamein. They become large. Right? Because they've eaten more than a healthy diet. They've eaten an excessive amount. Okay? So that's 7 and 8 in the writings of Maharal. But again, the Maharal is very sensitive to cycles. The Jewish people, our cycle, which again is the cycle of Torah, is the cycle of the moon. The Jewish people are compared to the moon. 30 days represents that renewal, that process of the moon waxing and waning, which is so deeply connected to Klal Yisrael and so deeply connected to Torah itself. So therefore, every 30 days, Korach v'Adaso, they need to once again re-experience in a fresh way how true the Torah is. And that's why the Gemara says every 30 days, they're forced to once again declare Moshe Emes v'Sarasso Emes. V'od, and lastly, says the Maharal, Ki kol davar hamischadesh kmo hayareach, shemischadesh acher shloshim yom. anything that renews, like the moon, which renews after 30 days, chidush sholal hu amitas etzem havayaso. Its renewal is the truth of its absolute existence, of its essential existence. What does that mean? Maral ends the parak on an interesting note. Kemo ha'odom shenolad. If I were to ask you, what was the moment in your life that proved that you exist? Well, I mean, I exist right now. Right? We're learning. We can see each other, sort of, over the screen. Right? We're breathing. We're communicating. We're thinking. There's a lot of things that we're doing right now. But I guess the moment of proving you exist more than anything else is the moment you're born. Is the holada of a person. Kamo adam shenolad. The leida, the birth itself, he amitas havayaso. Right? Going from not being in this world to existing, to the birth of the child, right? That the wonderment of that creation proves the truth of your existence, the fact that you were born into this world. V'lo kach hasher kvar nimtza. Not so much so when you exist and continue to exist, hu mosif alav, and your existence continues to maintain itself. Kamo ha'odom shu mosif begidol, right? So you were a baby and now you grew. You got a little taller, you got a little stronger, your body changed. Ein ze amitas havayaso. That doesn't declare the truth of your existence as much as your birth itself did. There was something about the newness of your birth, right, that sort of declared your existence more so than any other moment, maybe a long life's journey. Very interesting. So therefore, the Gemara says Gehenim overturned or passed over them every 30 days, kibasar bekalachas kol shloshim yom, like meat being cooked up in a pot. Shemischadish lam Gehenim. The renewal of Gehenim is sort of the renewal of their lack of existence, the same way that birth is the renewal of your existence, is the proof of your existence. V'zeh amitas havayas ha-gehenem shepo'al b'hem. V'omer Moshe emes v'saraso emes, ki etzem ha-gehenem ha-yepo'al b'hem. B'shvil she'em ha-yichol k'mal ha-torah. V'roi lehem amitas gehenem k'moshe amarnu. They deserve gehenem because of that, as we've explained. V'zeh mevar k'moshe v'taraso emes. He's explaining that again, the cycle of the moon, which is the cycle of rebirth, right? Meaning the new moon is really a rebirth of sorts. When the moon goes from displaying its light and the light increasing and then decreasing and then disappearing and then re-emerging, that whole process is like a full cycle of life, right? From not existing at all, not being able to identify the moon, being totally concealed, to the moon then revealing itself. So the cycle of the moon in many ways is almost like a cycle of life, of death, and then a rebirth. And rebirth, again, we're saying birth itself is the moment that proves that you exist. You go from really not existing to existing. So if we're saying that Korach and his clan were guilty of what? Of denying existence itself. So to constantly solidify that truth, the truth of the Torah, and the rejection, the utter rejection of Torah of Korach, so every 30 days they have to almost relive this experience, to be born again into this experience, and to once again declare Moshe Emes is Taraso Emes. Now, if you'll ask, and the final point of tonight, says the Maral, if you'll ask, what do we mean when we talk about time in the context of Gehenim? I thought Gehenim is not a physical place. What is 30 days? I thought in the depths of hell, you're beyond time. You're beyond physical space. We're talking about a spiritual concept, right? So what do we mean? If you told me that fire is not really fire in Gehenim, and smoke is not really smoke, then what is time in the context of the world beyond this world? Ein zekasha lemeivin. This is not a question to those who understand, which I guess we'll pretend to be tonight. V'yizbar davazev makom acher. I've explained it elsewhere, but it's the same yisod that we mentioned earlier. Shekamosh yesh yamim mamish lebnei adam gashmiim. Just like human beings have a concept of physical reality of time, right? Time to those who are physically alive. Kach shayach yomim lidvarim bilti gashmim. So too, there's a spiritual concept of time, even to things that are spiritual, not physical. Ve'ein kan makomo, and this is not the place to elaborate on that. Bizvar b'makom acher, and I've explained that the Maral says elsewhere in my writings. But this point, I want to just talk about this point for another 10 seconds, and then we'll end tonight. We finished the parak, Baruch Hashem. But I want to just talk about this point for a second, because we often think about it backwards. When we talk about let's take the concept of God's body. God doesn't have a body. We don't believe Hashem has a body. So what does it mean when the Torah talks about Etz Be'elokim, the Yad Hashem, the Zroah of Hashem? So we often, and I remember, I only learned this a couple of years ago. I never really thought about it, but I only really understood this concept a few years ago. We think that this is a Yad. I look at my physical hand. This is a Yad. And there's some spiritual concept, that power concept called Yad. There's an abstract idea called Yad. That's what a real Yad is. When the Torah talks about the Yad Hashem, it's not like, oh, that's a cute way, in some type of anthropomorphic way, to describe, you know, a body part, so that I can, you know, like, this is a real Yad. My physical Yad is a Yad. And there's some, to better understand God, we'll use a mushal called Yad. It's around. Yad is a spiritual idea. For us to understand the spiritual idea, a truthful spiritual idea called Yad, Hashem gave us a Yad. This is the Nimshal. Right? The real Yad is a spiritual idea. This is the mushal, rather. Our hand is a mushal to understand that spiritual concept. Right? So it's not that we have the true Yad, and when we talk about the Yad Hashem, or the Etzba of Hashem, or the Zroah of Hashem, that's just some type of parable. Hashem has a Yad. We have a mushal to understand that in the form of a physical hand, of a physical arm. So the same thing, when we talk about time, we think, oh, time, we understand time. What is time in the context of Gehenna? The answer is no. There's a much truer concept of time that's a spiritual time. For us to relate to that in some way, we have a spiritual time. We have a spiritual place. We have a spiritual fire to help us understand. We have a physical fire, rather, to help us understand the spiritual fire called Gehenna. So it's just very important that we don't think that we're, you know, we're the truth, and Hashem's ideas are these abstract ideas that we're trying to relate to our truth. The ideas are the true place of those realities. And Hashem gave us many mashalim, fire, time, body, to help us to better understand His truth and His reality. Okay, so that's just an important thing. And again, it's that same idea of the God.